Hey everybody, this is B. Sal of the Vault of Horror, and I am here in the Vaultcast once again this week for Conversations in the Dark. And this week, I'm joined in the dark by the Dive Mistress. Hello, Dive Mistress.
Hello. Hi.
Canada's greatest athlete.
I wish.
That's a little wrestling joke. The wrestling fans will get that one. Since I do have the highest rated wrestling podcast
Podomatic. Yeah.
Yes. But you're not Canada's greatest athlete, but you are the you are the writer of Zombots, which is a great blog, zombots.blogspot.com, and you also are one half of the AVOD podcast, which I'm sure a lot of people out there have heard, especially if you're listening to this. It's the avod.blogspot.com. That's where you can find it. And even though you're not Canada's greatest athlete, you are, in fact, Canadian, right?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
And that is why we are going to be talking about Canadian horror tonight. Yes?
Yes.
That's
sort of, I hope.
Like we were saying before, actually, there's a ton of really great Canadian horror movies, which, you know, sometimes some of them are known for being Canadian, you know, and others you kind of find out and you're like, oh, I didn't know that was made in Canada. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that is true.
Obviously, Cronenberg being the big one. Everybody knows, you know, he's Canadian, and, you know, his movies, most of them, I don't think all of them, but most of them are, you know, Canadian films.
Yes. I think they all are. I want to say they all are.
I'm not sure if The Fly is, actually. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, that might have been a studio production. You're right.
Because that was Mel Brooks, and so it might have been an American thing. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. But he definitely grew up, I guess, if you want to say that, making films in the Canadian system, quote-unquote. And actually sort of, he's one of the only successful, well, not the only, but one of the few successful Canadian filmmakers to come out of the tax shelter years.
Isn't that still going
as it's
on?
Referred to. to like really make a name for himself. And interestingly, it just happened to be in the horror genre.
What did he just kind of fall into that? I don't know too much about his like biography. Was it just happened that he fell into, you know, working in that genre? Because he certainly seems to have like squirmed out of it in a hurry as he's gotten quote unquote legitimate.
Yeah, no, I think I'm no expert on Cronenberg, but in the beginning, I think the intention was always to make something, you know, off the mainstream, so to speak.
Right.
I don't think it just sort of happened by accident that he became this big kind of, you know, genre icon. I think that might have, you know, quite intentional on his part in the early years anyway, to make these sort of weird movies that, you know, were hard to sort of fit into, you know, one genre or another.
That's true. Yeah, that's definitely true. And there was a couple of the earlier ones that I wanted to mention, but you just said one thing about the tax shelter thing. Now, that's a big part, that's a big element, isn't it, of the whole Canadian movie industry, that American filmmakers go up there. It still goes on, doesn't it, to save money or to save on taxes or some kind of, I don't know, some money thing.
It's some money thing. It's a good way to describe it. It's not something I fully understand, but what happened was at the end, I think it started actually in the 60s, this sort of tax credit thing was established within the government. It was to encourage industry development in Canada. So just to encourage people to spend money in Canada. And they thought it would be a good idea to develop a film industry and attract American investors and Canadian investors as well. And at the end of the 70s, there was this huge, huge tax write-off for productions that were made in Canada. And I think it started at 60%, and then it went up to like this 100% tax write-off you could get if you made your film in Canada. And there was supposed to be some kind of like point system involved in how much money you could write off depending on how Canadian your production was.
How Canadian? Like what?
Yeah, like it just like how many Canadians you had working on your production.
Oh, okay.
Something along those lines.
Would you have to say A every like 5 minutes or like, or have yeah, like Rick Moranis show up?
Standing around listening with a check, like, you know, a clipboard to check off, make sure that
yeah, like
was happening. But it got so wildly out of hand, and they were churning out all of these movies, and they were all very terrible. And the bottom just basically fell out because nobody was going to see these films.
Hmm.
So there was this problem where you were producing a lot of movies, but nobody was showing them.
That's not good.
So these films weren't making any money. And then, like I said, the bottom fell out, and they put the kibosh on that. And that was the Canadian Film Development Corporation. It was the body that was sort of responsible for this tax shelter. And they turned into Telephone Canada. And now we have the tax credit. And again, it's like, it's not quite as bad as the tax shelter, but again, it's a refund or a rebate
right.
on productions that are done in Canada. So again, I'd like to attract, foreign investors in producing their movies in Canada.
This is a nice little lesson in Canadian economic history. I don't think
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think people expected to be getting this. This is terrific.
No, I wasn't expecting to be teaching it.
Yes, it's nice. You know, now we all know. But if
now we all know, and that's why you know.
Well, Romero went up there, didn't?
Toronto,
didn't
play the role in New York City.
Didn't Romero? Yeah. I was going to mention that. Toronto has been like doubling as Manhattan in a lot of movies. And I think that Romero, right? He made the last two. Well, not, I don't know about Survival of the Dead, but he made Land of the Dead and Diary of the Dead up there, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I guess you can call those Canadian horror movies, and even though like he's not Canadian, and you know they're Canadian productions.
Yeah, and it's okay. We don't mind.
Well, of course. What's funny is I did, it was a while back where I was trying to put together this list of, you know, the greatest, quote unquote, greatest foreign, meaning non-American, because we're also, you know, completely, you know, jingoistic, the greatest foreign horror movies of all time. And the weird thing was a lot of people had this blind spot about Canada because we weren't even really thinking of Canadian movies as foreign films. It was weird. And it wasn't even like a foreign language thing because there were British films that made the list. There were Australian films that made the list. But when all was said and done, I don't think there were, and it was anything Canadian. And it wasn't because we didn't think anything was good enough. Obviously, there's tons of great. We just didn't think of Canada. You know what I mean? It was just like, I don't know. You know what? Canada is always just sort of like people just, it's sort of like America, kind of, in a way. I don't know.
I know. Well, you know, it's a sort of quote from The Simpsons. It's easy to miss Canada all tucked away down there.
It's just this giant 51st state just lurking.
America's largest national park.
Yeah, it's to the north.
You want to call it.
No, because,
people forget about us.
Well, you know, obviously there's Cronenberg, and to get back to that, you know, actually some of the real early stuff before he even got that noticed as in America, especially two movies that really stand out for me are Videodrome and The Brood.
Yeah.
Have you seen those two? Because I only saw The Brood. I want to say last year was the first time I had ever seen it.
Well, this is sort of a bit shameful.
Oh, here comes the big announcement, right? I remember there's going to be a big revelation.
I hinted to you that I'd be making a big announcement.
Yes,
here it is. I've seen three Cronenberg movies.
Okay, is Eastern Promises one of them?
No.
Oh wow!
Okay. I guaranteed you're not going to guess what they are. Well, maybe one of them.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, I've seen The Dead Zone.
Okay.
I've seen Existence.
Okay, not a horror
And I
movie.
think I might be the only person who liked Existence.
I know people that like that movie. You're not the only one with its weird, like, flesh guns and other bizarre Cronenbergian things.
It's totally weird. And the third Cronenberg movie I've seen is Dead Ringers.
Oh, okay. Now, okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a movie that I always find myself in the minority on. Everybody's got movies like that, and actually, you know, I've talked about Blair Witch, and I feel like I'm the only one that doesn't like it, but Dead Ringers even more so. I just cannot like that movie. And I know I'm in the vast minority. I might be the only person who doesn't like it, but it's just, I don't know, I found it so tedious, like, and I like his movies. There was just something about it. It just never. It could. It doesn't hold my attention. I don't know. I'm missing something.
It's you're waiting for the movie to go somewhere.
Yes.
And it just doesn't quite make it, because it hints at there being something really weird and bizarre going on with these two gynecologists who are twins.
True
and
story.
Bizarre obsession with women's reproductive systems, and I can't remember if it's one of them or both of them sort of gets it into his head that he has these patients, or there are these women out there that are mutated on the inside somehow,
right?
And so you're really kind of, you're waiting for that to develop further and to kind of to really get to the heart of that story, and like, what's going on in this guy's head, and are there really these weird women running around with like these, you know, mutant insides? And it doesn't really get anywhere. Like it just, you never quite get there.
Well, no, because you know it's based on a true story, so obviously nothing too out of the ordinary or supernatural is going to happen. You know, because you know it's based on this real case. And I don't know, it might be partly because I came to that movie when I was kind of young. I was a teenager, and like, I had gotten to know him from The Fly and things like that. Yeah. And so,
and it's a different movie from The Fly, very different. Yes. So
it didn't.
If you have an expectation of what Cronenberg is all about,
yes,
it you didn't know, watching these other films, and then you go and you sit down and see Dead Ringers, you're gonna be a little disappointed, I think.
Yeah, it just didn't pack a punch for me. Maybe it might be too subtle for me. I'm kind of dumb. It just went over my head. But no, see, because, no, when I come to his movies, I'm expecting a certain something. Like when I saw Videodrome even, or The Brood, like I said, those are movies that really, they're so effective and they really freak you out, because they deliver on the weirdness. They don't just tease you with nothing. And I'm not saying that nobody can get away with doing that, because there are great movies that do that. But I just didn't appreciate it coming from him. I was like, you're the guy that's supposed to give me all the really weird stuff. You're not supposed to get all cerebral on me and, like, you know. You're supposed to give me
to explode.
Yes, and like little weird midget guys and you know, like TVs that attack people, like, oh, that's the kind of thing that I'm expecting. You know, I'm not expecting like, ooh, it's all in their head. They're, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Existence sort of revisited that idea too.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying that. You know, obviously that's one of the only ones of his that I don't like, because The Fly is an amazing movie, and I mean, you know, I'm making fun of him for, you know, the mainstream thing. I'm just joking around with that, because I think Eastern Promise is a fantastic movie. It's not a horror movie, but it's absolutely outstanding. And, you know, you should probably check it out. It's definitely worth seeing. But you know what? There's actually another movie from Canada. And I always knew this one was Canadian. It's not Cronenberg. And I have to bring it up because it's easily on my top 10. And it's one of those movies that doesn't get enough of attention. And it is The Changeling. With George C. Scott. That movie, it's making you laugh. I don't know why, but it wouldn't make me laugh, but it scares the crap out of me.
Oh, I didn't laugh while I was watching it.
Oh, yes. Well, I saw it as a kid, and I mean like a kid. And that movie really messed with my head. The thing, the whole scene with the kid in the bathtub is, I swear to God, like that's an image that was burned into my brain to a point where it wasn't even healthy. Like I was like, because I when I saw it, I had to be like 8 or 9 years old, and I swear for years after that, I kept getting paranoid, like about bathtubs or even toilet bowls. Like this poor little boy's head was gonna pop up in the toilet, you know?
God.
Yes, these are the weird things that happen from showing little kids horror movies, like I do with my own, so which is obviously brilliant.
Yeah, no, The Changeling, it is. It's a fantastic movie. I saw it, I guess, as an adult, so a completely different experience from your own. But, you know, for a lot of people, though, it's one of those movies that sort of they see it and it stays with them for quite a long time afterwards. And yeah, and again, it's a Canadian film, and I guess a lot of people might not know that. So, you know, they'll sort of rank it up there as among the better horror movies without kind of giving it its due. And then, you know, it came out of Canada, and it's different from a lot of the other horror movies that have come out of Canada. So, yeah, I guess so.
And it doesn't even, you know, what's so great about it is it's almost like the Haunting, which is another great ghost, the original one, which is another great ghost movie that I love because it does so much with so little. Like the Haunting even more. There's hardly, it's all atmospheric and it's all very psychological, and it works so well. You hardly see anything, and I think a big part of the reason it works is George C. Scott is so fantastic in anything.
Yeah.
And he's an American actor, so I guess that's probably why people don't make the connection. But, you know, I guess they knew what they were doing getting an unknown American actor, you know, to appear in their movie. But I
But
love.
again, I mean, this sort of the way I guess the tax credit or the tax shelter also operated is that you don't, for the film to be a Canadian production, you don't necessarily need to have a Canadian in the lead role
Right, of course not.
necessarily, so
No, it doesn't. Obviously, you could have it. You can have anybody you want in there. You could have a, you
yeah.
know, it's just a matter of where the money's coming from, really. That's what it comes down to, you know.
Pretty much, and then I mean, everyone else who's sort of behind the camera,
Yeah,
they're all gonna
exactly.
be, you know, called from the local industry folk.
Well, what about, okay, how about Fido? Fido is the big, you know, most recent kind of, you know, Canadian horror movie that to really, unless I'm missing something. Well, there's Pontypool also, but to,
Pontypool,
yeah, I was
yeah,
gonna
and
say.
then there's a movie that's coming out very soon, if it's not already out now, called Suck.
Oh, right, I've seen a little bit of that. Yeah, I've heard about that.
That's also a Canadian horror movie, and then Manic Monday, I believe.
Oh, you think so, huh? Manic Monday, huh? Yeah, oh, wait. Oh.
I'd jump on top of that one.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's April 3rd now, so, you know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what? I've talked crap.
Yeah, that's you
Making
know.
noise.
Yeah, you know, they really kept a tight lid on that. So, you know, I don't want to spoil any more about that movie than I already have because it hasn't come out yet, so I don't want to really ruin it for people, you know. But anyway, yeah, so Fido was a big one for me. I'm crazy about that movie, and I think it's a crime how, you know, Shaun of the Dead became such a breakthrough movie of the same kind of mini sub genre, and I
Right.
think and deservedly so, you know, but Fido never got that. It never got that crossover thing happening, and I think to me, it's almost as good as at what it does, you know. I mean, I think it's fantastic.
Well, I think part of the problem, again, I don't know a whole lot about Fido, but I think just sort of for Canadian films in general, be they horror or non-horror, is simply finding an audience. And like even within our own country, which is a real shame. Because if you've got, you know, a small production, it's not going to play in every city across the country. It'll play in the larger markets.
Right.
And then, you know, if you're looking for some for international distribution, again, you're only going to get the large markets. And so even for a movie like Fido, which was, you know, well-received and well-known, still it's just, it's not going to find a huge, huge audience.
Well,
simply through its, like, the way the movie is distributed. And then, you know, sort of, it kind of gets a second life on DVD.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Then it's much more accessible to a much larger audience.
Well, that's actually something that seems to happen in a lot of countries that get, you know, American media and pop culture as a major import. They just seem to neglect their own markets, and it's much more known. You know, obviously there's exceptions like India, where, you know, they have their own little world over there of movies that are just like massive. But most countries, they neglect their own kind of native film industry in favor of getting all the American movies. And it's interesting that it even happens in Canada. For some reason, I wouldn't have thought, I guess because, you know, there's a common language for at least most of the country. I wouldn't have assumed that, but I guess that's probably the case, huh?
Yeah, it's totally, it's weird. I mean, we sort of joke about how Canada's got this massive inferiority complex and we're living in the shadow of America. But, you know, it's not totally untrue, these things, these horrible things that we say about ourselves. And there is, I mean, you can't deny, there is a whole lot of cultural imperialism going on in the American, you know, movie industry.
And definitely.
You can't escape it. And because Canada doesn't have an industry to rival the American industry, which is what Canada, I think, was hoping for in the beginning when they started their whole tax shelter scheme and the CFDC to begin with. So they're really, we're just not producing movies on the same scale. And I know that sounds like, you know, that's a terrible excuse. But it's true. We aren't competing, and we can't compete. We just don't have the infrastructure or the industry to do so. And I would argue that, you know, because of that, our country needs to make an effort to get our movies seen on screens across the country. And they're just not doing that, I don't think. Or they haven't in the past, which is sort of...
Yeah, always been something that's kind of happened with the American movie industry. I mean, it's nothing new. It goes back to really, I mean, at least the 30s. I mean, when American movies have just been, they've just sort of been... I don't know, countries around the world. It's interesting I can't figure out where what came first, the chicken or the egg. Is it the demand that all these countries want these American movies, or is the demand just being created by the endless supply? You know, I can never really tell what causes that. But it does seem to be, I mean, it's not just that stuff is being forced on people. You know, it seems like the movie-going audience is that's what they want. You know, one thing that was interesting when I was, after I saw Let the Right One In, and I was very curious to find out about this Swedish, you know, film industry, because it's not something you hear all that much about, aside from like Ingmar Bergman movies, and then all of a sudden this one comes along. And I think they actually made, I'm going to get the number wrong, but I mean, it's a ridiculously small amount of movies. I'm not even kidding. Like something like maybe 10 movies a year they make in that entire country. And it's subsidized by the government. So obviously they partake in lots of, you know, international movies coming from England, coming from America and other places, because they just don't have the funding to make their own movies. And I'm guessing that probably happens in a lot of countries too. But I'm trying to think of what I would say is the highest profile Canadian horror movies in the United States. And I guess it's still Cronenberg movies, because his movies are just more than any other horror movies that came out of Canada that I can think of, have just become part of the fabric of horror movie culture and history with fans. You know, I mean, they're not distinguished in their own little category, like these are Canadian films, you know, things like you know, Scanners and The Fly and stuff like that are totally just canonical classic horror movies, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Although, I mean, My Bloody Valentine.
Yes, that's another one.
Is a Canadian film which was remade
Black Christmas,
you know, only a couple
too.
Of years ago. And that movie, I mean, it's supposed to be, or I think the idea was to set it in this sort of, you know, a town. It could be anywhere. It could be in the States. It could be in Canada. And I think originally the idea was to sort of was to set it in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people on the production, they got all this Canadian stuff, you know, onto the set. So they're drinking Moosehead, which is this Canadian lager. And I think they had some Canadian money at one point too. So they sort of found a way to make it more Canadian.
Right.
I guess maybe as sort of a nod to the Canadian horror fans out there.
So they met the quota for Canadianness for that particular
They did with the beer.
Right. But they just showed just enough Canadianness.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's another one. Yeah. Also
Ginger Snaps is Canadian.
Yeah, but you know, Ginger Snaps is kind of it's more of a culty thing. You know what I mean?
I suppose that's true, yeah.
It's kind of like the average casual person that enjoys horror movies may not have seen that, but if you mention some of the big Cronenberg movies, they're going to instantly know what
they're going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
for
somebody
sure.
That's been a fan, you know, for a number of years at least is going to know. But yeah, I wanted to mention Ginger Snaps because that is another big one. That one, I mean, in the last 10 years, that movie has grown so huge. I mean, it started out as, you know, just this minuscule thing, and I think it's something that benefited from home video and things like that, and it became a phenomenon, you know, an underground phenomenon, but a phenomenon. You know, it's got such a strong following.
Yes, and so much so actually that the both sequels, 2 and 3, were shot simultaneously.
Yes,
like they knew they could get 3 movies out of this, you know, hanging like right in the coattails of this first one, so they just went ahead and made both at the same time.
they pulled a Back to the Future on. They're just like, we gotta strike while the iron's hot with these
exactly.
Teenage female werewolves. This is a hot market right now. But it's such a cool movie. It was on again not too long ago on IFC, which I think that's another reason too for the movie having such a following, because it just, there's a coolness factor to it. It just this, it's kind of this indie, you know, quirky little horror movie. You know, it would work as a movie even without the horror stuff. Like, it's just a cool, you know, it's like an art house movie that just happens to be about werewolves. I mean, don't you think?
Well, it's funny that you say art house movie, because
I don't mean art house in the sense of, you know, like Water for Chocolate art house. I mean, like, no, but I mean, like, you know, like Kevin Smith art house, or like early Tarantino. You know
okay,
what I mean?
All right, I got you.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
I'm not.
My brain went to a different place.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about, you know, like The Crying Game or something like that. You know,
okay.
Just, no, or you know, Mrs. Brown or something.
This notion of sort of like, I guess, a Canadian cultural identity, and there's a book and also a documentary called Weird Sex and Snowshoes.
Okay.
Both of which are about trying to identify Canadian visual culture, and I guess in particular a Canadian film culture. And it comes down to, or sort of what they kind of break it down to, is that the Canadian films, you know, they use the bleak, desolate Canadian landscape to symbolize or signify, you know, the character's emotional content or quotient. And then the films also have a lot of just weird sex in them. And, like, that's what a Canadian movie is. It's bleak, desolate, and it's full of weird sex.
Wow, that's a very specific definition for the output of an entire country's motion picture
I
industry.
know, and I have a real problem with this.
It just, yes, I think any sane person would.
Desolate wasteland of a country. It's quite beautiful. And indeed, there are a lot of open spaces. But we find a way to fill our days with all kinds of activities, not just weird sex.
Okay, I was going to say, I think that that's what they're suggesting.
There's this idea or notion that a Canadian national cinema has to represent this one sort of weird cultural value that somebody else decided that that's what Canada's all about. Whereas, we have this sort of maybe like underground horror market, that's always waiting to be discovered or just on the verge of being discovered, around the world or at least within America.
Well, there's one other thing that I wanted to touch on briefly and before I let you go, but you were mentioning, and this is what made me think of it, that there are a lot of movies that people don't realize came from Canada. And I have a personal favorite from the 80s. It's one of those where you know how like there's movies that you know are not so great maybe, and but you love them, and but you know that opinion is not that widely shared. For me, one of those movies is The Gate. And I never knew that it was Canadian, really. I really didn't until I was like, thinking about it recently when, trying to get ready for this. And I'm like, whoa, The Gate? Okay, that's cool. Because I just, I don't know. Like, I saw that when it first came out, and it's just been a favorite of mine, along with things like Terror Vision, which I know, which is American and awful, but I love it and I can't help it.
On the gate. I think a lot of people sort of have a special place in their hearts for the gate. And
Yes.
again, everyone's sort of surprised to learn that, one of their favorite horror movies from when they were a kid is actually like this little Canadian horror movie that somehow
Well,
made its way into the North American genre.
yeah, because it got a regular, release in America. I saw it in a movie theater. It wasn't some obscure little thing I found on in the video store, I saw it in a movie theater, and that, that I'm it I wouldn't I was very young at the time, but I'm assuming that it got like a wide regular release in America, which probably would have helped a lot. It's just such a weird movie. It's like H.P. Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft, except an 80s teen movie with an H.P. Lovecraft theme. It's like Lovecraft meets John Hughes. Very bizarre.
Kind of, yeah. That's a really good way to describe
And you got the little weird, like, stop motion demon guys. It's just so creepy.
Yeah, this sort of like warlock or more bold people type.
Yes, and you have Bananarama's Cruel Summer in the soundtrack, which is always a plus for me. That and The Karate Kid both have that song in the soundtrack, and it's a large factor of their success, I think, to their success.
No denying.
It is, and yes, it is. So, yes, The Gate is a cool little Canadian horror movie, and that is the final thought that I want to impart to people. But actually, seriously, there's a lot of really cool horror movies that people probably know and love already that are from Canada. So before we go, there's lots of them, like the original Black Christmas, I was gonna say, in case you didn't
That's
know
great. Yeah, a
that comes from
classic.
Canada. Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer is Canadian. I know a lot of people love that one. Cube
Yes.
is a Canadian movie, so it's an interesting thing. It's something definitely worth looking into. There's lots of weird stuff going on up there, obviously, very obviously, that's leading to all these horror movies. So people should check out Canadian horror films in general, and people should also check out, as I segue here, the Dive Mistress's wonderful blog, Zombots, which is zombots.blogspot.com. And when you're not listening to the Vaultcast, you should be listening to the AVOD, which is at the AVOD. www.blogspot.com, which I hope to now put you on the spot with, to which I hope to eventually be actually a guest on. So
it will be. We've talked about this.
Yes. So we're gonna, there's a little crossover going on. So anyway, I want to thank you very much for coming on and taking part in discussing the great horror output of your wonderful homeland to the north of the United States, otherwise known as Canada.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Now, Steve.